Well, good morning and bless your beautiful hearts. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there. So delighted to be talking to you today. This morning, I want to teach on trusting in the words of God, turning from darkness to light. Today is Sunday, May the 10th, 2020, and it's Mother's Day. I was listening to a teaching series by a dear friend and minister to us. I was so blessed by what he revealed, I nearly ran down the street shouting, "Eureka!" It's true that Jesus Christ freed us from the law of sin and death, but there are other laws God set that are inviolate and will last forever. Laws that are mathematical, others that are of a scientific discovery and nature, that keep this world in order and life-sustaining. One of those laws is the law of displacement or buoyancy, sort of discovered by the great mathematician and physicist Archimedes. Archimedes' principle, physical law of buoyancy, discovered by the ancient Greek mathematician and inventor Archimedes, stating that any body completely or partially submerged in a fluid, which would be a gas or liquid, at rest is acted upon by an upward or buoyant force of the magnitude which is equal to the weight of the fluid. Archimedes was charged by King Hero of Syracuse on the island of Sicily to prove whether a new crown he had made was made of pure gold. The king had his doubts, so Archimedes was pondering how could he give an account to the king on the authenticity of this crown. So while he was thinking, he took a bath, and when he got in the tub, he noticed as his body went deeper in the tub, the water rose, realizing that the weight of his body displaced the water in the tub. He jumped out of the bath and ran down the street of Syracuse shouting, "Eureka," which is the Greek word for, "I've got it." He figured it out. Now, the king's crown was indeed a fake. They were added brass or copper to it, lesser valuable metals. And what he did was he took the crown and immersed it in a pail of water. And then whatever water was displaced, he measured that and realized that the crown was not pure gold. He put a piece of pure gold in there and then saw what kind of displacement he got compared to the crown itself. Perhaps you've sat in on a teaching where water was placed in a bottle and some coloring was added to the water, and then the teacher kept pouring clean water into the bottle until all the coloring that was added was displaced and the bottle contained only clear water. It was used to demonstrate how as we put the word on in our minds, we eventually can displace all the negatives. Eureka! Archimedes was right. I'm not going to run down the street naked. I'll leave that to Sheldon Cooper. The same can work in reverse. If you started pouring the coloring agent back in again, it will turn that very clear, clean water dark again. There are other great truths we can glean from the Word of God to prove how the devil works to steal, kill, and destroy, turning a clear, beautiful mind into a mass of darkness. Let's take our illustration from the Scriptures, starting in the parable of the sower and the seed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. First, what is a parable? Well, a parable is a simple story using representations to teach a moral or a principle. It says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Then in verse 3, of Mark 4, it says, "Hark and behold, there went out a sower to sow. And what he sowed," verse 14 tells us, "the sower sowed the word of God." The Word of God is made up of the words of God. And how important is it? Well, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then in the Psalm 119, verse 130, it tells us, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." The word entrance means the opening, or it means to declare, or to illustrate, as it is in Arabic. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And Luke 24:32, talking about the two men on the road to Emmaus, said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures?" By the way, well, once the scriptures enter into our mind and gives the declaration, that's why teaching ministries are so very important to us. The declaration is in teaching, and it's important to us because it opens to us the scriptures and fills our mind with the light of that scripture. And the more scriptures we add in that we begin to understand, it fills our minds with more and more light. Let's take the words that give light and apply them in another place and see their effect on a situation. Why don't we do our experiment this morning from the book of Genesis? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, from the Contemporary English Version, it tells us, "The earth was barren, with no form of life. It was under a roaring ocean, covered with darkness. But the Spirit of God was moving over the water where the darkness was and bringing light." And the New King James Version says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." If God said it, he must have used words. What kind of words were they? Well, remember, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." What was the result of the entrance of his word in Genesis 1, 3? There was light, and light always dispels darkness. So the darkness was dispelled or displaced by light, sure. The word that was light. We speak of light always dispels darkness. They cannot occupy the same place at the same time. Eureka, the law of displacement. Let's keep our clothes on and rejoice in his words. What do we find in our Genesis experiment? What else does Genesis 1:3 tell us? There was no form of life, or 1:12. In Genesis 1:12, the New Living Translation says, "Then God said, let the waters swarm with fishes and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So how did life come about? Well, God said, let there be light, fish and other life, which come from the word. So the words must also give life. Yes, if we want our minds to be full of life and full of light, we need to displace the darkness that creeps in with the light of the word. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the scripture tells us, "The light of the body is the eye," or that's the doorway. It's therefore the eye. "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." If our spiritual understanding is single, then our whole mind, our whole life is going to be full of life. Well, the word body is put for life. We just recently partook of the communion of Christ. The bread we ate, remember, represented the body of Christ, and the body of Christ was represented by the bread, and the bread represented his body, which represented his life. Jesus said, he spoke words, take these words, or take this bread and eat it. And when you eat it, what do?
You digest it.
You digest it, and it becomes a very part of you. Digest the words I have spoken unto you. They provide spiritual life. These words will nourish you all the way to eternal life and the outstanding blessings of the glorious kingdom of God to which he has brought you to. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 is another interesting verse, and I'm going to read it to you from the Contemporary English Version. My prayer, this is the Apostle Paul, my prayer is that light will flood your hearts and you will understand the hope given to you when God chose you. Then you'll discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, for God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light to shine where? In our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, if it shined in our hearts and it takes root there, which is good soil, it'll start to grow, and so that the glory of God will shine from our faces, from the inside out. It will burst through the darkness from the inside outwardly, and people will see the glory of God in our faces. That's what we will represent. In John chapter 6, verses 63 and 64, I'll read you from the New Living Translation. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Only by the Spirit of God that dwells in you, let your heart be filled with the glorious news of our hope together for all of eternity. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, it tells us, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If your spiritual understanding is closed off, all you're going to get is darkness. If therefore the light that be in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? But it can be changed. Remember when we added light into the colored water, we added clear water. Eventually, all of the colored water was displaced and moved out. We need to allow the light of God's wonderful plan for you to flood your heart and displace the darkness. That's what it will do for you. Eureka, that's what light does. But it needs an entrance. Don't wrestle with the darkness. The law of displacement, light dispels darkness. So put on the light in your mind. Let your minds be filled with light until all the darkness is displaced and moved out. We have recently been working to clear our pond of debris. When I had a stroke back in 2017, Connie and I decided, let's just leave it rather than risk injury, because I was unable to do that which is required to balance, to rid the pond of the reeds and all the other overgrowth that was growing in the pond. It had grown over so much, more than I thought, since the last time I was involved cleaning it. Left unattended, it had overgrown to where you cannot even see the waterfall or the fountain at the other side of the pond. It was completely covered by reeds. It obscured and obstructed our view. And we couldn't even see the pond from our kitchen window. So we hired a landscape crew to come in and cut down all. But after 3 full days of cutting, there was still a lot of unwanted growth we needed to clear to get back to pleasant views we enjoyed from the water feature, which was intended to produce a pleasant view for us. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the scriptures tell us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Situations in life that we allow in our thoughts by information we accept can cause our view to be obstructed. At times in our Christian life and walk, certain situations cause us to lose track of the view we previously enjoyed. It could be in our relationships, it could be in our work, or even in our fellowship with the Father, and even with the body of Christ. If we allow it to go unattended, other seeds can come in, and they will eventually overtake what we had set in our minds, well arranged and pleasant. Our views we enjoy could become overwhelmed, and the amount of work we foresee might take to restore it back to the pleasantness we once enjoyed or perceived it would bring to us may seem no longer worth the effort it will take to recover. So you can leave it and lose the value that you once deemed worthy of the effort to start. But don't lose heart, attend to it. There are several areas that we must retain, like there are several relationships we cannot afford to lose even have obscured. Number one, our relationship with the Father. We can't allow any separation by the weeds and other things that grow up there. Allow no separation from God. Allow no separation from His Word. Allow no separation from His love. Allow no separation from yourself, who and what He has made you in Christ. Allow no separation from the body of Christ, our fellowship with like-minded believers. In the contemporary English version, Proverbs 27:17 says, "Just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the minds of each other." Then in Proverbs 29, verse 25, it tells us, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." It boils down to fear. It actually boils down to trusting in the Lord, or trusting in God and His words. But fear can build. Anxiety can take over. Don't be afraid of what man has to say or be ensnared by his words. They may be smart, but there's no man smarter than God or as smart as God. They may terrorize you with their words such as, "Ooh, a pandemic," and scare the living daylights out of the country and tell you, "Stay home. Wear a mask." Okay, so I don't wish to put a stumbling block in front of my neighbors, so I do practice social distancing. I be careful how close I get to them when I see them, and I do wear a mask. But God tells me regarding sickness and disease, Jesus took it upon Himself for me. I just did communion. I will not allow these words to tell me that was not enough, the communion of Christ. And He told us, "Do this in remembrance of me," in remembrance that His body was broken for our healing and His blood was shed for our remission of sins. Don't allow that to be replaced. He or she has better ideas and statistics to go with it. Well, don't let the mask cover your eyes if you got it over your face, and so you obscure the view of the word. I never thought there would ever be a day when I would wear a mask to the bank and go in and ask for money. Never thought that would ever happen. In John 18, verse 9, it says, "That the saying might be fulfilled which He spake of them which Thou gavest me, I have lost none." That's Jesus Christ speaking. Beat that statistic. I have no separation anxiety. I will not allow myself to be separated from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nor what He's accomplished for me, nor the word that declares it. I cannot obey, "Stay home, We are all in this together, because I like to gather where the saints assemble. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the scriptures tell us, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's the same Greek words that are translated gathering together. And I'm certainly not going to miss that. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1, it can become a habit, not fellowshipping together, staying away from each other. And that's exactly what the adversary wants. So his messengers are putting out his message. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. They have made it become a habit of theirs. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day approaching is that verse that's talked about. It talks about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, the gathering together of the saints when Christ returns for us. The word encouraging means to give comfort. It means to call to one side, to give comfort and encouragement to a greater degree, much more, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Every day we are closer to the day when Christ will return. And that is absolutely for sure. The pandemic is not for sure. I think of that commercial that I always laugh at when this couple is sitting, said, we just got this in the mail, and there's two guys there, and they open it up and they look at it and they say, this is a cable bill. And when he says that, the guy goes, covers his wife to protect her. It's a cable bill. Well, every day we are closer to the day before, so we shall ever be with him. So what about sickness? Well, you can phone conference with your doctor today, who's a medical physician, or do as the scriptures told us all along since James was recorded. In James chapter 5, verse 14, it tells us, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. The elders are those who preside over the assemblies of the church. Doesn't say call a PhD or call, call Dr. So-and-so. It says, call the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. It doesn't say CBD oil. In the name of the Lord, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. In the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed any sin, they shall be forgiven him. Well, the Lord shall raise him up, it means from a seat or even from a bed. And if they committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. We are here for you, and we're ready to roll. We have our car all filled, gassed up, ready to go. If you need help, give us a call, and we will be there. Purportedly, the Bible supports the use of all the various seeds and herbs because they were created and blessed by God and could not be wrong to use. Consequently, the plant called hemp is proper for Christians to use for food, for medicine, and enjoyment. That's what they'll tell you in Genesis 1:12. Well, in Genesis 1:29 through 31, the Bible further indicates that all herbs are given for food. Much is made about the statement found in King James, which supposedly speaks of hemp being the plant spoken of in Ezekiel 34:29, called the plant of renown, which would heal, Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. First, I agree that God created everything, but this argument does not address the problem that not all plants that are part of the creation are edible, or the fact that the original creation was impacted by sin. so that some things created may no longer be in their original state. One must use wisdom in discerning the use of something made by God. It may be that its intended use for various products do not involve ingestion. Remember the hemlock and the poison mushroom as part of creation, but are deadly as food. Second, there are no indication that the context of Ezekiel 34:29 or Revelation 22:1-2 that the hemp plant is in view, but in Ezekiel 34:29, marijuana supporters have based their thinking on a wrong translation of Hebrews. Do you think God would leave out the scripture where one of the ingredients in the oil used to anoint the priest could be found in the local head shop? I don't think so. If we seek God, he will be found of us. Let us help the brethren and our neighbors with the truth that will outlive any pandemic, and it'll even outlast the Bill of Rights. We have been inundated with the words of reporters, so-called specialists, prognosticators, witches and warlocks, mayors, governors, and other spokespersons that are chosen by these people who have no allegiance to God, people who have no loyalty to God, people who have no loyalty to the words of God, and other spokespersons who have interrupted our sacred service to give attention to worldly fears that only cloud the truth and confuse the public. They require our attention and demand our obedience to their whims and wishes. But we ought to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and look to the words and word of God and put it up against that and see how they fare. And stand with the truth. Well, happy Mother's Day. Sure love you. God bless you. Have a great day.